I'm Judith and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi Judith.
So grateful to be in a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this evening. I go to two meetings a week and I'm grateful that I'm able to be of service in both of those meetings I go to. I've been in programs since September 2009, so 7 years and 8 months. I've been absent since November 2013. No, November 2012 actually. November 2012, I got abstinent, and when I came in to Overeaters Anonymous, I came in at I was just under 18 stone. I was about 2 or 3 pounds under 18 stone at the time. I remember translating that in all categories of weights. So it was dead on 250 pounds, and it was 113 kilograms if I remember correctly. And I was devastated. Yeah, there's only one word I can say. I was devastated. I never wanted to get that big. I never ever wanted to get that big. That wasn't the plan. But this disease is progressive, and I couldn't stop. I couldn't be separated from food. You know, I ate all the time. The only time I stopped was to sleep. And then I'd wake up, as soon as I woke up, wherever I left, I passed out, and usually it'd be something sweet, like a pie or whatever I've left, because I couldn't finish it. I'd go straight back for it the first thing in the morning, because then I'd tell myself, that's okay to have for breakfast. That's fine to eat that for breakfast. Ate all day when I was at work, just, you know, car full of food, all containers. I used to have a certain place where I'd stop off to eat. And at that point, I guess what I remember, it was difficult to walk. My ankles were really in so much pain from carrying the weight. It was in, and my legs were so sore. They were literally, I had blisters in between my thighs. Pain going down my arms. It wasn't nice. I was powerless. I was truly powerless. I was powerless over this. And I came into recovery. I came into recovery many years ago, actually. That was in California. I don't even know how I got there, but I was literally, I remember being in the meetings. It was on the way to work. It'd be about 7:30 in the morning, and I used to sit in the meetings in the mornings. Never worked the steps. Never got a sponsor, but I did like it. From the minute I walked into that place, I liked it. I liked that. Fellowship, that's the word, that was it, that people were telling the truth about what they were doing with food, and how food was their masters, and that's what it was for me. So I returned to the UK, and I wanted to go to a meeting in the UK when I came back to live in the UK, but I thought I could do without recovery. I could do it on my own, I guess. So I never went back to a meeting until the September 2009. And when I walked in then, I was ready to do what it took in order to work a program. At that point, I was told to get a sponsor and have a sponsor take me through the steps. And I did that, and I managed to get quite a considerable bit of weight loss. But at that time, I think my program was my food plan. When it says about we're not a diet and calories club, I treat it like a diet and calories club. It didn't click then that this was a spiritual program, and for me to be here, I need to be working a spiritual program, you know, to get abstinence and to stay abstinent. So what happened was, after a while of having my program based on my food plan. The sponsor who sponsored me at that time, she was unable to sponsor me, and because she left, she didn't want to no longer be in fellowship, so she left. And I, at that point, I was sponsoring myself, and I just thought, oh no, I don't need to I don't need to get another sponsor. Things, I've got this program now, you know. I've got weight loss. I'm sponsoring myself, you know, no problem. I can do this. I can do this. Well, it didn't take long. It did not take long for me to be back in the food. And I never went back in the food in the sense that I picked up the binge food, which was for me was sugar. Well, it was loads of binge food, but mainly I never picked up sugar, and I never ate in certain food places that I stopped eating from as well. Never did that. But what did happen that time was my food. I could no longer control the amount of food I was eating. I was losing the control, and the more and more I control, because the more and more I kept thinking it's a diet, you know. Oh, let me try. Oh, I'll be trying things like I can't. Or let me try. This is my food today, like not eating as much carbs. So, you know, just trying to tweak it here and there, because this is what I thought would get the, because that's what I thought. If I get the weight off again, I'll be all right. I'll be all right. You know, totally forgot about the steps. You know, my recovery comes through the steps. It does not come through a food plan. It comes through the steps. You know, that's a tool. And I never got that. And then what happened was that I was in pieces, and I knew that what I had to do first of all, I was going to a meeting that wasn't a well meeting, and that didn't help at all, you know, because when I'm in a sick meeting, that to me it kept me sick. It actually kept me sick. So I had to find well meetings where I heard people talking about the message and were carrying the message. And they believed in this they believed in the big book. They believed in recovery. They were taking people through the big book, and I wanted what they had. I truly wanted what they had. I want recovery. And I asked a lady to sponsor me, and I still at that point, what did I say to her? Oh, but just for a food plan, that's all I need you to do is just sponsor me in relation to be a food sponsor. So she said, no, I don't do that. You know, if I'm going to sponsor you, I'll take you through the steps. And I thought about it, and I thought, oh, come on, there's nothing, I need to do this. And I went through the steps with her, and it changed my life. It completely changed my life. You know, that lady took me from the cover page to 100, to from the cover to page 164. She read that book to me. She read that book. Every sentence she read to me. It was amazing. And I was able to have a spiritual experience. I was able to have a spiritual experience through that. And there's a few things that came up, and I never really when I did shared my step when I shared my step four with her, one of the things that came up is she said that I needed outside help, and I was absolutely aghast. I just thought, how dare she? You know, I didn't accept that. And the other thing was about my job at the time. She said to me about that I shouldn't be working full time. That I need to work like 3 4 days a week. And I thought, please, you know what I mean? I need the money. And she commented on my relationship with my mother, and she said it's really enmeshed your relationship with your mum. She's a really good sponsor, but I didn't at the time. I just thought this was just I just wasn't listening. I was listening, but I wasn't able to take it on. And she said about the relationship I had. And what happened was for me, because I'm gonna get current now, you know what. That happened when she took me through the step 4 years ago, and I've just gone through the steps again now. And this time going through the steps was was absolutely amazing going through the steps. I'm on step seven now, and what happened for me is that you can't run from it. For me, you cannot run away from the truth. You cannot run away from the truth. And yeah, I truly did need outside help, and I'm getting outside help. And I was told it came up again. This is at five. It came up again in this step when I shared this step, and another sponsor said it to me. And I was able to accept it. You know, 4 years on, I was able to accept that. The relationship my mother has, it's got so much better. You know, it was so meshed, that relationship. I was just so wanting, it's like, all I can describe is when I hear someone say it before, you know, it's like I was going to be in queue for a loaf of bread, and I can't get a loaf of bread and be in queue, and that's what I was trying for. And it's when I'm able to accept that relationship change. And the other thing that happened, I finally surrendered to actually working part-time, and that's the best thing I've ever done. Really has. So I'm grateful for that. And what's happened this time around, there was one thing I wanted to say as well. Going through the steps this time around, it's been a deeper level of getting to know who I am. It really has. It has been painful. It really has been painful. And I'll share this one quickly. A couple of weeks ago, I woke up. I was on my bed doing prayer and meditation. I live in an apartment building. And all of a sudden, I hear my apartment door open. And I've jumped up, thinking, who's coming into my house? It's like 6:30 in the morning. Jumped up, and a guy's walking into my house. So it's like screaming. And the police were called. And anyway, I got the man out of the house. But the reason why I brought this story up is because when I told my sponsor what happened, she says to me, "You don't lock your doors." So I says to her, "No," I said, "I don't lock my doors, because when I was a child, my dad used to lock me in a room, and the sound of a locking of a door, I can't take that sound. I can't take the sound of locking, because it just brings me back there." So she says to me, "Well, he's not locking in a room now, is he? You need to do some writing about it and start locking your doors." Mm-hmm. And I put the phone down, and I was so angry. And I didn't do the writing then, and I did the writing in the evening. And what happened then was that I wanted her to feel sorry for me more than I wanted to get well. I wanted from her to say, "Oh my God, Judith, your father did that to you? That is awful. I'm so sorry." And I've been living on that for a long time. You know, I need that from you. I need for you to tell me that, "Oh, it was so bad for you, Judy." And now I've got to realise that I can't ride that horse. I keep, you know, what I need to do is get well, you know, and I need to lock doors, because if you don't lock doors, things like that do happen. And that was really powerful for me. That was only just a couple of weeks ago. And this weekend, when I listened to just going around the rooms, I thought about this weekend. Saturday was an amazing day for me, because I went to country fair in Cambridge. And whilst I was there, I was walking around this country fair, and there was people doing drugs there and alcohol. And it was amazing, because I thought, you know, I've come to a point in my life that there's people smoking cannabis. Now, I used to smoke so much cannabis. You know, I was stoned most of the time. And I weren't smoking cannabis anymore. And I drank. And I weren't drinking anymore. And there was all these stalls of food. I had my lunch before I even arrived. Didn't eat a thing. Was going to get some fruit drink. And I said, "No, I don't need a fruit drink." I never got that. And there was clothes as well. Now, clothes was a big thing for me, because I, you know, compulsive spender, just got to buy, because that was another thing I wanted to fix. So, you know, if I had a handbag, if I had a clothes, I'd be fixed. And I noticed that day, Saturday, I thought, wow, you know, it's come to that I can be okay without spending my money on clothes that I truly don't need, doing drugs, alcohol, and eating all the food, because it was all different foods from all different countries there as well. I thought, look at that, you know, that's where recovery takes me. And I'm grateful that, I'm truly grateful for that, you know, because I spent the day with my son, and I truly spent the day with my son. I didn't spend the day acting out. And yeah, you know, I didn't spend the day acting out. And I don't, that's time. I'm humbled by the presence of a higher power in my life, and I leave it there.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you.